This is Soliloquy, the ramblings of a madwoman with a soothing voice.
3 years is a very long and a very short amount of time all at once. In your teens, it blows by. In your 30s and up, it passes in the blink of an eye. But as a child, 3 years old is an eternity because time has just started for you. As a parent, 3 years is a very long and a very short amount of time also. A three-year-old is fucking stupid. All children are fucking stupid. Now, that's not to say that they can't grow and learn and become intelligent. But in the beginning, knowing nothing, they're fucking stupid. It is our job as parents to educate them, but at the same time protect them, to coddle them, to spoil them. Children are naive. They don't understand what danger is until they experience it firsthand. We want to protect them. We want to keep them innocent and pure for as long as possible. But still, that innocence, that naivety, we coddle them too much, we damn them. My three-year-old was fucking stupid. That isn't to say I don't love them. I do. But as a parent, I wanted to protect them and shield them and not let them know the horrors that go on in our world for just a little longer. And it's my fault it happened. You see, three-year-olds are quick. They're learning and they're absorbing everything around them. Chubby little cheeks, pudgy little fingers, getting into everything, wanting to know more, wanting to escape its own stupidity. He had just learned to open the door to help mommy and daddy bring in groceries. What we didn't know was that he also learned to unlock it. You see, the rules are, after dark, you lock your windows, you lock your doors, and you do not open them until dawn, lest they get in. I was in the kitchen making dinner, and my husband was setting the table, and three-year-olds are so fucking fast. You blink, and then they're somewhere else. He unlocked the door. They grabbed him so quickly. My husband was pulling on him, screaming. I'd come out. I could smell the blood. I could hear the screams. There is a certain kind of scream a child emits that a mother, a father, a parent, a guardian knows. It is peril. It is danger. It is save me. It is help me. It's I'm scared. And I heard the scream, and I heard the ripping and the snarling, and I heard my husband trying to pull him back. Now, this is when quick decision-making comes in. Do you let go of the child? There's no way two adults could fight off what was on the other side of that door. Do we sacrifice the child to save ourselves? To save the love of my life? To save myself? I can't. I can still feel him kicking and moving inside of me, my sweet little parasite, my spawn. With his father's eyes, my smile. I remember my screams and my agony as I pushed him into this world. I cannot sacrifice the child, but I cannot sacrifice my husband, and I cannot sacrifice myself. I can hear them crunching. That means that the meat is gone. That means they're going to work their way up. If I choose not to sacrifice the child, and I choose not to sacrifice myself, if I choose not to sacrifice my husband, then I must sacrifice the arm. The arm for the child for my sanity. I can't think about it. I slam myself against the door. I can hear him screeching out in pain, the absolute agony he must be in. I still have the knife. There's only one thing I can do. I take a deep breath. I want this to be as painless as possible, and I slam down the knife with as much force as my arms can muster. I feel it hit something hard. It's then that I wake up. I don't have any children. It's just me, my husband, and my two cats. No, it had all been a dream. But in my desperation to save my child, I swung so hard in my slumber, I knocked over my end table. I broke my finger. Hurts like hell. But I could not sacrifice myself and my husband. I could not sacrifice my child, so I chose to sacrifice the arm. And in the end, I sacrificed only one finger. A finger for a whole child.
Children are so easily frightened by their own creativity, spooked by something of their own creation. I'd liken it to being startled awake by a fart, except more permanent, more scarring. It's kind of fucked up, the way you dwell on it. The same source of joy and magic shaping the fears and phobias that will stay with you until the day you die. Ah, the terror of whimsy.
Do you remember the first thing that, like, really fucked you up as a kid? I'm not talking about anything, like, particularly awful, but that first unreasonable thing you were really scared of, like an old tree silhouette on your window or the guy on the oatmeal box. For me, the first time I remember truly, truly being terrified of my own imagination was when I was 4 years old. Every week, my mother would take me and my siblings to the library, and this particular week, I found a book, and being four, I couldn't fucking read, but the art seemed cool, and my mom gave it the once over and checked it out for me. And every night, she would sit down with the three of us, and she would pick one book and read it to us, and it was my turn to have my book read first. And let me tell you, this was not a children's book. I mean, it was in the children's section. It was technically a children's book. It had fucking pictures. This was not a children's book. This was a goddamn horror story with illustrations and the occasional bright colors. And to this day, I am still absolutely terrified of this book. I still remember the story. I only had the book read to me once, and it scarred me so badly. To this day, I might not remember it word for word, but to this day, I still remember the story. And unfortunately, my mother, being the oh-so-creative soul she was, did voices and sound effects, so that really just drove the point home. I thought maybe I had imagined it, but every couple of years, I come across this book at flea markets, at yard sales, the occasional local library, and I always lack the testicular fortitude to pick it up and read it. And I'm sure if I did, it wouldn't seem nearly as big and scary as it does in my mind. But I am still not brave enough to do so. Maybe, just maybe, if I come across the book again, I'll give it a read. But I'm going to tell you the story of Tallypo, and I'm going to tell you it as best as I remember. A long, long time ago, deep in the Appalachian Mountains, there lived an old man with two old dogs in an old cottage with an old brick chimney, always putting out smoke. I mean, after all, winter was coming. Gets mighty cold out there. Well, food was getting scarce, and eventually he'd have to trek back to town. But he could hold out for one more night. So he took his dogs out looking for something to put into his beans. Just a little bit of meat. Something hearty. Keep him going. Keep him strong. And no such luck. No squirrels. No possums. No deers. Nothing. But on his way back, he noticed a big, black, bushy tail sticking out from under the underbrush. And he crept up on it. And he took his hatchet and he chopped it clean off. And he heard the creature scream and go spluttering into the woods as fast as it could. It was solid, it was thick, and it was going in the beans tonight. So he cooked up that tail, skinned it, and maybe it would make something nice with the fur. It was like nothing he'd ever seen. And after he was done eating, he gave the rest to the dogs. Well, he was full, he was fat, and he was happy. The sun was going down, and he was just sitting on his porch, rocking back and forth in his old rocking chair, just whittling away. But
But just beyond the woodpile, he hears a... and a soft wail.
Tally-po, Tally-po, where is my Tally-po?
Well, he'd never heard anything quite like it. And there's no one else for miles. He was sure it was just the wind, so he went ahead and went inside. It was just his imagination. He sat next to that fire as it got darker. And then on his patio, he heard a...
Tally-po, Tally-po, where is my Tally-po?
Maybe it was some kids messing with him. He was always known as that weird old man in the woods. And he opened the door and he let the dogs loose on him and slammed the door behind him. He could hear them running off into the darkness, barking, chasing off whoever dared to frighten him. He waited a little while. The dogs didn't come back. They always came back. Maybe they had just gotten lost. They were old. Maybe they were turned around. Maybe they would be back by morning. Or maybe... Tally-po,
Tally-po, where is my Tally-po?
He started to get a little nervous. He started to get a little scared. And he got up slowly. And he went into his bedroom and he bolted up that door. He had his gun ready, and then he heard a...
Tally-po, Tally-po, where is my Tally-po?
He pulled the covers above his head, and he could hear it. Long nails crunching and clawing themselves to the edge of his bed. He could feel the weight shifting from his footboard to his mattress. And it took everything in him to pull back those blankets. And there he saw two wide yellow eyes staring back at him. Long black claws puncturing the sheets, the blankets, and the mattress. And then he saw the teeth when they pulled back. Stared him down. Tally-po, Tally-po, where is my Tally-po?
You've got it. And with a mighty yelp, he pulled out his gun, but it was too late. The creature was upon him.
I wonder if you could hear his screams echo in the night for miles around. Now, a long, long time has passed. You go up to them Appalachian Mountains. There won't be an old cottage with an old man. Maybe just the remnants of an old brick chimney that never makes any more smoke. But if you listen, really listen, you might hear a purr on the wind.
Tally-po, Tally-po,
now I've got you, my Tally-po.